Welcome to the Heart Journey podcast show, also known as the Whole Life Podcast. I am Dr. Barbara Jean Lowe Sauve. I am a minister and coming to you from a totally Christian worldview, but I also happen to be a psychologist and a trauma expert. We are in our series from codependence to Christ dependence, and we are in episode 5. In the first 4 episodes, we've already gone through, are you loving or losing yourself? And we talked about how codependency goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, where Eve chased control and Adam chased Eve, even though he had that perfect connection with the Father. And so there we see the serpent crushed and we choose to drink from the vine. We know that we are safe, loved, and free because of what Christ has done for us and how he has redeemed us from the curse on the cross. In episode 2, we talk about the cross and the cure, how Jesus heals the fear that drives codependency. And we talked about resting from our labors and that codependency is a work of the flesh. We move from the garden of control to the cross of freedom. And we talked about anxiety and how anxiety is when we worry, we're trying to get control. Our takeaway is that the cross ended striving and the resurrection began our rest. In episode 3, we talked about the resurrection and rest and living free from codependence. We went through an encounter where we took Abba's hand in the dark and we went through a restored childhood encounter with Jesus. We came to understand that our place of peace is our position of power, and that as we sit in the peace that Christ has given us, we walk in power. And last week, we talked about boundaries and belonging and our holy yes and sacred no. We talked about that every holy yes rewires us for peace, and every holy no rewires us from freedom. One of the things that I wanted to talk about last week that I didn't get to was we did talk about how our internal yes from the Holy Spirit and from our unction needs to match our external no, and our internal no needs to match our external no, and our internal yes needs to match our external yes. But some of us, and this has been something I've had to struggle with, have a self-protective auto no. When someone tries to speak into our lives, there can be an auto, no, you don't understand me. And that can sometimes come from that anxious attachment style. We're going to talk about attachment styles today. So what we want to do instead of having that auto no is having an auto, let me consider it, that we want our boundaries to be breathable our boundaries to have windows and doors to let the good in. Okay, today we're going to talk about embodied boundaries. Our free resources today and that we've been sharing throughout this series are the Heart Journey Self-Parenting Tool. You can go to drbarbaraministries.org/self-parent. And our 10 Tools to Overcome Rejection free little ebook, drbarbaraministries.org/rejection. All right. So we've recapped the past four podcasts. Today, as we start, I wonder if you could slow your breath, soften your shoulders. Maybe allow your jaw to unclench and to soften into the safety, the belonging that you have with Jesus. You know, oftentimes we have a fear that something bad is going to happen that's based on that something bad happened in the past. But God is with you. And security is an inside job. Things in life might not always work out great. And we do need to accept that there will be some suffering in this life. However, Jesus will be with us. We will be fine. Even if we have a season of lament, we do it with him. We are never alone, and Christ is forming in us continuously. I also want to say, if you're constantly suffering, then something's off there too. God wants to teach you how to have some fun and enjoy the good life that He died for you to have. Okay, so today we're talking about your body remembers. Your body remembers trauma even when your mind doesn't. Our bodies remember what our minds forget. Memories are encoded. Memories are encoded best when we're not in fight or flight. So when we're in fight or flight, sometimes memories get lost or bypassed the hippocampus in certain ways. However, the body remembers. That's why sometimes we can have a visceral trigger that we can't tie to a memory. And sometimes those things get dissociated as well because of the way that trauma is encoded. We found with studies that when a harsh surgeon's hand touches skin, even though the person is under amnesia, the person's skin reacts differently from when a gentle surgeon's hand touches their skin, because the skin remembers and senses. We also know that people who've been under anesthesia and don't remember anything about things that happened in surgery can have PTSD from things they didn't even remember or know about. So trauma, Bessel van der Kolk says, trauma is a wordless story that the body tells for us. Alan Shore shows us that these memories begin pre-verbally, before language. We don't really have autobiographical memory until we have language. So anything that happened between 0 and 2 and sometimes up to 3, we just don't have memory for other than in our bodies. So before language, memories are stored as sensation, tightness, maybe smells or sounds, but we don't have autobiographical memory. And so if you're walking around in life feeling lonely all the time, even when you're around people, I want to propose that that's a body memory, that you felt lonely earlier in life and it's showing up now. And it feels very connected to your situation now, but it's probably your body telling the story. Stephen Porges calls this neuroception, as does Dan Siegel. Your body scans for safety faster than thought. We're constantly scanning for safety. And if you've been through a lot of trauma in your childhood or unmet needs, your alarm system, it's like one of those fire alarms that keeps going off and chirping, and you're trying to find where it is, and it's ridiculous, and there's not an alarm, there's not a problem, battery that's running out. That's what our amygdala can do. They can just keep going off. Imagine a fire station with a faulty bell and it keeps going off, and all the firefighters get ready and think about all that energy. It's exhausting. Dan Siegel adds that implicit memories are felt, not remembered. Implicit is deep within, like procedural memory within us, and they show up as mood and muscle tension rather than a story. So when your heart races, when you hear a certain tone of voice, when your stomach drops, maybe when someone turns away, that's your body trying to protect you from past threat. If you miss your kids when they're not with you, but when they're with you, you stay busy and you can't connect with them, that's you replaying in your behavior a sense of disorganized attachment or some kind of dysfunctional attachment in your implicit memory. And so we want to work with our felt sense in our bodies with encounters with Jesus. And Jesus still speaks, "Peace be still," Mark 4:39. He can speak peace to your cells, to your neurons. Let's remember who He is. He is a supernatural God, and He does supernatural healing. Now, are you going to be healed like that and be able to be emotionally whole tomorrow? Probably not, because the Bible reflects a process of encounters with Jesus that spiritually form us. Now, we cannot be spiritually mature without being emotionally mature. We just cannot, which means we need to manage our emotions and our triggers before the Lord in a way that we walk circumspect with Him. And we want to decrease those triggers as we attune with Him. See, we have safe attachment with Him available 100% of the time. So He can speak peace into your cells. Your body isn't rebellious. It's faithful to survive until love, the God's love, tells it is safe. And some people get into even adrenal fatigue where their HPA axis gets dysregulated because the firefighters are constantly getting charged up to go out. And that can cause, there's this feeling of chronic threat that can end up, we can only stay up there so long before you crash down into that flat exhaustion. So if that's you, we definitely want to work on healing to your inward parts and to your soma, your body. Let's talk about the child inside the adult. You know, I believe we all have inner children and that is normative. The ACA Red Book calls those who've gone through dysfunctional families, or says that those who've gone through dysfunctional families learn to guess what normal was. I know for me, I studied people all the time. People thought it was strange the way I people watched, but I was trying to figure out what normal was because I didn't have it growing up. This morning, I was telling my husband, I realized after the shower, there's a place that it's taken a long time for us to patch in the wall from something that hit the wall when he was getting set up for a work conference he was doing. Anyway, nothing violent or anything like that, but it bothers me that we haven't gotten it fixed. And the Lord spoke to me this morning, you grew up with holes in the walls from the violence and things were always being patched up. And so you want it looking good again. So anyway, things like that cause us to guess what normal is, and we're looking for normal. And what can happen is when we grow up in homes where there's a lot of chaos, or even there's just a lot of unmet needs, like even if your mom is sick a lot or a family member has to travel a lot, a parent, and so you're underparented and your emotional needs aren't met, we can develop a sense of chaos on the inside, and then we're constantly trying to control with codependency on the outside to address the chaos that's actually an inside job. But yet remember, our place of peace is our position of power. Alan Shore notes that the right brain, the seat of emotion and attunement, develops through attuned care by our parents or caregivers. Now, we have attuned care by the Lord, but the cost of that is time. We have to spend time in solitude and silence with the Lord, grappling with Him, intersecting with Him, abiding in Him, worshiping Him, being grateful before Him, but also talking to Him like David did about the deep issues of the heart, lamenting with Him. When love is inconsistent, the right side of the brain wires for alertness instead of rest. That's Alan Shore's work. But Romans 8:15 says, you did not receive a spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption teaches our bodies that connection can be safe again. Porges tells us that the ventral vagus nerve is the biological seat of love and belonging. So when you feel safe through warm tone, gentle eyes, worship, your body moves from defense to connection and belonging. This is why we have the kind eyes meditation, where we think, this is from Diane Poole Heller, where we think about the kind eyes of our pet or a loved one, and we immediately feel that ventral vagal connection. And this is why in Heart Journey, we have the kind eyes with Jesus, where we think about Jesus's kind eyes looking at us. So many of us have had angry eyes looking at us. I think about Toy Story, where she says, don't forget your angry eyes. But we've had angry eyes looking at us, and that's a threat. We need to receive and drink in kind, loving eyes from Jesus looking at us. Dr. Andrew Nirberg found that 12 minutes of loving prayer will calm, quiet the amygdala and activate the prefrontal cortex. So this is where we can spend time in that stillness and attunement with God. And then we awaken in our prefrontal cortex compassion and moral discernment. Time with God changes your brain. It restores your brain. It heals your heart home. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you," in John 4:27. So that's like him saying, "My embodiment, my attunement I give to you." The Holy Spirit is your parasympathetic nervous system at rest, dwelling in him. You have a whole kingdom inside of you if you have given him your life as Lord and Savior. He has come to live inside you. The Holy Spirit lives inside you. You have the whole kingdom of God, access to the whole kingdom of God through the Holy Spirit inside you. All right, let's talk a little bit more about boundaries and entropy. The law of entropy. Everything in creation tends toward disorder unless tended. We must tend the garden God has given us. And that includes the garden of the self and the garden of our boundaries. Boundaries erode through guilt and fatigue. So every morning, I'm challenging you, I'm inviting you to pray, "Father, what is mine to carry today? What is yours to carry today? And what is others for them to carry today?" We don't want to do for others what they can do for themselves. And we don't want to also, we also want to do what we're supposed to do for the day. Sometimes we want to get people to do our responsibility, and then we want to do others' responsibility. And that's swapped. We want to do only what we see the Father doing for us. Neglect is how boundaries die. Attention is how they resurrect. So your body is your temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to remember, fatigue is not the fruit of faith, and overextension is not holiness. All right, God, and it's not that we're not tired in the work of God, but if you're continually tired, if you feel like you have that adrenal fatigue, if you're in overextension, it's not the love of God. If you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're on the triangle of pain as a victim, if you're always caretaking, if you're resentful for what you're doing, you're in striving and you're not in rest. Either you're doing what you're not supposed to be doing, or you're doing it with an attitude that is full of strife. When Jesus withdrew, even Jesus withdrew to rest. So when you rest, you worship. And when you rest in the Lord, it is reverence. Rest in Jesus is reverence. It's the false guilt and the religious people pleasing that keep us in cycles of dysfunction. False guilt whispers you're selfish for protecting your peace. But Romans 8:1 whispers there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the book of John says we only do what we see the Father doing. When guilt arises after you give a truthful no, pause and pray, "Jesus, align me with your truth, your peace, and your attunement." And then peace comes not because you performed out of striving, but because you abided. The place of peace is your position of power. And when you've lost your peace, you need to go back to it. Let's talk about attachment styles and how it's connected to abuse and how God rewrites our attachment system. God created us to have an attachment system with others. It's formed through our attachment with our early caregivers, who are our earliest higher powers. So if you're secure, if you have a secure attachment system, you say you have a felt sense of I am safe and lovable, an open chest, a steady gaze, a balance. Ainsworth found that attuned care creates right hemispheres and coherence. And so what I want to encourage you is John 15, abide in his love. If you're anxious, preoccupied, the core belief or fear is, if I don't pursue, I will be abandoned. Here we often have a tight chest, rapid speech, hyper-focus on approval. We have high amygdala reactivity, dopamine loop of pursuit. But Jesus says, I will never leave you. Practice soothing in his presence before seeking reassurance. If you are dismissive, avoidant, the core fear or belief is closeness isn't safe. I must be self-reliant. Here we have tense shoulders, low affect, just down, distant during emotion. It's like you're a million miles away from your connection and emotion with others, and you really want to get away from connection, but yet you want to keep it in a little box so you can control it. Deactivate here. Research shows we have deactivation of our attachment system, and Alan Shore's research shows we have lower insula activation here. But the spirit says it's not good for man to be alone. We want to risk gentle presence and eye contact. If you have fearful, avoidant, or disorganized style of attachment, your core belief is love is chaos and connection hurts. Here, our body behavior includes our push-pull cycles, panic when shut down, holding your breath. Here, your caregiver was a source of fear, Vander Kolk says. But 1 John 4:18 says, perfect love casts out fear. Jesus' steadiness reteaches us safety. Spend time with him. Earned secure. This is where you've been working on your attachment. And the core belief is, I was wounded, but I am being healed. Here we have increasing capacity for repair and regulation. Mary Main says here, coherent narrative restructures attachment maps. So we're working on changing our narrative, encounters with Jesus, restructuring attachment maps. Psalm 23, Jesus invites you. He restores my soul. Healing is possible. Anxious avoidant blend. I want connection, but fear losing myself. Alternating here, our body and behavior have alternating heat and numbness, fast and then withdraw. So we're activated and we withdraw. We have a mix of sympathetic, anxious, and dorsal vagal shutdown. This is what Porges says. But Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Learn God's pace for closeness. In the trauma-bonded reactive loop, pain means connection. Oh, this is where you've been trauma-bonded and you stay in a relationship that's where bonding is trauma-bonded with oxytocin is linked with all the trauma. So adrenal surges after conflict, and then there's intense reunions. Here you have the cortisol-oxytocin bond and intermittent reinforcement. So if you had abuse, repair growing up. But Psalm 61:1 says he binds up the brokenhearted, and God replaces fear, the fear bond, with the peace bond. So I want you to identify where you're at with curiosity and not shame. When someone pulls away, do you chase, numb, argue, or pray? What does your body do when you are experiencing closeness? Does it lean in? Does it try to hold tight and squeeze and clench? Does it tense up? Does it run away? Awareness is the door for healing. Beloved, you are not your attachment style. It's a map of where love was interrupted and where God is meeting you now. In our next podcast, I'm going to work with you on a body awareness encounter. And we're also going to work on some reparenting pieces, and we're going to move into, in future podcasts, we're going to move into the forgiveness cycle, how to repair. We're going to move from trigger to tenderness, and we're going to talk about sacred partnerships. How do we move from codependence to Christ dependence? How do we take the heart journey to where we have one heart and mind with Christ, and therefore we can have oneness with other believers and other people? Beloved, I love you. Let me pray for you about your attachment style. Lord, I thank you for each person listening. Father, I pray for so much healing to come in these areas of invitation, identification of attachment style, and invitation by you to heal. Lord, I thank you that you are good. Lord, I thank you that you heal in the most amazing ways, Lord. We bless you, God. Each person, Lord, touch them in their place of pain. In Jesus' name. Next time, I'll go over quickly those attachment styles again, maybe give you some examples, and we'll move into a body encounter. I love you. I'm with you. Make sure you're following me in all the usual places, YouTube, TikTok, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. I think I already said TikTok. I love you, and I put out this free content to help you. However, if you are interested in joining the Heart Journey, mentoring and community experience, and you're a female, adult female, you can email me, or you can go to drbarbaraministries.org/experience. And I also do pastoral coaching. If you'd like coaching for your attachment style and healing your heart. I also love talking about dating. Like if you are someone that you're realizing you have an attachment style where you keep dating the same person with a different face, I'm happy to help with that. And you can buy a package of 5 coaching sessions with me if you would like. All my love, I'm here with you, and Jesus will never leave you.